الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فانه لا يضر الا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. اما بعد، فيقول تبارك وتعالى في القران الكريم: يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. اما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we living in this country have been witnessing the last week or so the great devastation and flooding and destruction in the Gulf Coast, and the images that we have been seeing and making our own comments, our own analysis of it, whatever it may be, what is in that tragedy the ibrah, the lesson, the dars lana for us? What do we learn as mu'mineen, as muslimin and muttaqeen, that we see this and we hear many comments from people, whether Muslim, non-Muslim? Some say something, some tell other thing, but don't forget that the tragedy struck everybody across the board, regardless of religion. There were many Muslims who died over there. There are many Muslims from there who have been displaced. About 12 to 15 masajids have been flooded, as well as many non-Muslims over there. Life is life. Islam does not differentiate between life. And that is why Allah says in the Quran that وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا. Whoever saves one life does not say whether حَيَاتُ مُؤْمِنْ وَلَا حَيَاتُ كَافِرٍ. Allah says point blank وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever saves one life, one soul, one nafs al-bashar, it's as if they have saved all of humanity. Keeping that in mind, I thought today we will discuss about this tragedy which has hit us hard and home and close to us, so that we as American Muslims living here in this country as citizens can understand what lesson is there for us, and teach others and be a guiding light for others who may say things and do things differently. First question comes up: what happened? Why us? Why them? Many people have been saying, whether Muslim, non-Muslim, Mother Nature has been hard on us, it's pounded with water, with flood, with destruction, with wind. We as believers, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore we don't believe in Mother Nature. And we don't treat this thing as some Mother Nature tragedy or trauma. Rather, we treat this as a sign, ayah min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever we see devastation and destruction, we as believers, the first thing that comes in our mind is that it's a sign from Allah, either for good or to bring good. No sign from Allah is bad. As many people showed their frustration and dejection that why God did this war, where is God? Many people saying in newspapers, reading that some lines are such as God has forgotten New Orleans, or the God is very evil to the Gulf Coast, or where is God now after this devastation? We don't say these things. These things are negative. From our Aqidah point of view, we have one answer from the Quran that shuts up all these comments. It closes all the doors of speculation that people might have. And that is in Surah Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 155, very clearly Allah tells us that our life, our hayat, on a daily basis is under scrutiny. Yes, governments may scrutinize their citizens. They might scrutinize the papers of application. But Allah is also scrutinizing us on a day-to-day basis. And one of the ways that Allah's mother scrutinizes us is to test us, examine us, اختبار, امتحان. And that is why Allah's mother tells in Surah Baqarah, the second surah in Quran, verse 155, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وهم المهتدون. Verse 155, 156, 157 in Surah Baqarah. Allah SWT is telling us, what have you seen? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Over here Allah SWT is saying, we will test you, insan, Bani Adam. Anyone who is insane will be tested. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ. Two things Allah will test us most and foremost. Fear, khawf, and jew, hunger. That is why we see that these two things, these are commodities in which the true stature of the believer, of the insane, comes out. When you are tested with fear, fear of destruction, fear of devastation, fear of life, loss of life, fear of loss of money, assets, fear of anything. When you test it, how you respond to it is the test. Will you repose yourself in the full trust and tawakkul of Allah? Or will you go into a frenzy and freak out, become hysterical, pulling your hair, ripping your shirt, banging your head on the wall, or something like that? Al-istirja. That is what Allah SWT is saying. Al-marja'iyya. Where did this insan, when I test this insan, this bashar, where does he or she go to? Do they come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with khushu, khudu, tawadu, ajz, humility, humbleness, and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do they run in a frenzy uttering words of kufr? These are words of kufr. Things like you read in magazines and newspaper, God has forgotten New Orleans. Where is God now? And they have a picture of some dead body lying over there. We don't say these things. Ahna as believers, mu'mineen, we have full tawakkul and trust on Allah. And the answer to why this happened is in this ayah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ. We will certainly test you with something of fear and hunger, jew. Because when you're hungry, if you recall the last time you were very hungry, shiddah, very, very hungry. How did you behave? Did you start acting reactionary, irritating, bagging things, going where, speaking loudly? What kind of behavior was it when you were very hungry with jew? Because when there is shiddatul jew, the true sabr will show their sabr. And the sabr that is floating on the water will begin to freak out and go in a frenzy. That is why you see, in Surah Quraysh, what does Allah SWT tell us? The surah, small surah in the 30th juz, many of us memorize, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رَحْلَةَ الشَّيْتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ وَمَنْ رَبُّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ مَنَ الرَّبُّ. Allah SWT answers the question in the next verse, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَكُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَكُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. لماذا الله سبحانه وتعالى يبتلي الإنسان من خوف والجوع؟ لأنه هو الخالق والمالك والرازق، وهو الذي يعمل الإنسان من الخوف، وهو الذي يمتلأ بطون الإنسان. The one who gives you food is the one that's going to test you with hunger. The one who gives you fear, or who asks you to fear him, will also test you with fear. Do you fear the asbab, means? Do you fear the things, circumstances, or do you truly fear Allah? Because the one who is khashan lillah, khalisan lillah, will not fear anything. They will not fear any of these things. And they will treat this as a ibtila, as a bala, as a ibtila, as a imtihan. Why? To get the qurb of Allah. Because when you succeed this devastation, when you succeed this test, the reward is humongous. Allah rewards huge. When we are successful in this time kind of test, how Allah not only blesses us in this dunya, but gives us akhirah, jannah. And that is why we see that in the Ghazwatul Khandaq, the battle of the trench, when the khawf and jew ishtadda al-amr, when it increased manifold, what increased a lot? Khawf. Khawf al-ahzab, who came around Medina and they thoroughly grounded themselves over there and waiting to attack the Muslimin. That was khawf. And jew, hunger. Because the Muslims had come out of the city, dug up a whole trench, and camping and living there. Just imagine how come they would have food. So what they had? Hunger, jew. So what did Sahaba do? They put hajr al-batn. They put stones on their stomach. If you haven't tried this ever, I would suggest today, if you get a chance, experiment it so that you can feel at least how Sahaba Ridwanatul Majma'in and Rasulullah felt. So we can feel the same way. But when there was Jew, the Sahaba, they put a stone. And after putting the stone, if you can ask any medical doctor or physician or nutritionist, they'll tell you that the pangs of hunger, when it comes in the intestines and the stomach, there are certain enzymes that are secreted. And that tells the signal to the brain that the body is hungry. It's just some sort of communication, neurons going forward. When you suppress and compress your stomach, they stop sort of to be secretion, or at least you're fooling the brain by saying that the stomach is filled. Why? Because there's an outside pressure pushing towards inside. That's why they used to put a stone. Because many Muslims ask, when they read this in Sirah, why did the Sahaba put stones? What's the point of stone? Jew, shiddatul jew, yamut al insan, shiddatul jew. When you're extremely hungry and you have nothing in front of you, you might even eat a human being, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. Because hunger drives a human being very restless. And that is why Allah subhanahu is saying, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ. We want to see you how you are a mu'min when you have jew. We want to see you how you are a mu'min when you have khawf. That you are feared, fearing from mountains, fearing from clouds, fearing from rain, fearing from thunder, fearing from rih, asif, fierce winds. What do you fear? Or do you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when the Sahaba would come to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, enough is enough. I have this, and they show, they pour up their stomach, they show, we have this stone, and I can't bear it anymore. What was the jawab of Sayyidina Rasulullah? He did not give the answer from his tongue. His tongue was silent. He just raised his stomach. And because he is Uswa Hasana, wa qudwa lana qudwa lil mu'mineen, what did the Sahaba see? Two stones, not one, on his stomach. Two stones. The Sahaba were complaining, we have one stone on the stomach and the ishtad al-ju alayna. Rasulullah said, look, this is qudwa, hasana. Look at it, two stones. That when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. He did not pacify them, inshallah, isbir, inshallah. He's showing, look, when it comes to test, when it comes to bala, when it comes to imtihan, you have to be firm, mustaqim. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Allah is saying here with lam, lam al-ta'keed, stressing, emphasizing, indeed, surely we will test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوءِ. We will test you certainly indeed with something of fear. Allah will put some sort of fear in front of you and see, does this person fear that thing that is in front? Or does this person fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah, وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Test is continuing. Don't just think that the test is from the khawf and jew only. No. Those are the two first. That's the beginning. وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. Decreasing, diminishing of what? Amwal, wealth. When mal, wealth diminishes, you lose mal. When you lose something, you lose your whole house. You lose your whole car. You lose your job. You lose everything that is in front of your sight, like those people felt after this hurricane. That's a test. Test from Allah. Well, anfus, many people lost their loved ones. A father, a mother, a son, a daughter, uncle, aunt, cousin, nephew, whatever. وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And the fruits and dividends, products that you have. What does Allah say then? وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ. Because the true sabir is the one that will bear out the storm, which will face the destruction and devastation with sabr. And sabr is what? Al-istirja. Meaning a person finding repose, reclaiming, withdrawal in who? In tawakkul Allah. When somebody loses something, that is why Allah told them, whenever you lose your wallet, lose your car, lose your job, lose your house, lose your nafs, lose your loved one, you should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We think that this dua or this ayah is to be said only when we hear somebody died. No, that is one aspect. Nafs, that's one aspect. But when you lose anything,
sporadically, spontaneously, the mu'min should say from the tongue, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from Allah, and to Allah we're going to raji', return. If mal, I had mal, Allah took away mal, it was his, it was never mine. I never earned it. It was an amanah, trust. If I had a son and daughter, Allah took it away, it was never mine. Yes, people used to call it, this is his son, his daughter. But truly it was Allah's blessing, an amanah. Allah took it back. So what should I say? Should I start crying? Should I start banging my head on the wall? No, I say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Who are the sabreen? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً. Sabreen are those people who, when some musibah, mushkil, some calamity, some tragedy, some trauma comes to them. الَّذِينَ أَصَابَتْهُمْ. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ. Not that they are passing by the musibah, they are watching and gazing on it. No, musibah asabatum. The musibah comes to them, whether it's khawf, or ju', or nafsul amwal, or nafsul anfus, or thamarat. At that time, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا. They say from their tongues. The first thing from their tongue comes, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Not, uff, ya Allah, ليش هذا? Why this? What? Oh, this. These words don't come out from the sadr. And the one, the mu'min who does say these things, it's not a sadr. They may be a mu'min, but they're not sadrin. Because the sadr will say, قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ لِهِ رَاجِعُونَ. What does Allah then give the barakah about that? أُولَٰئِكَ. مَنْ أُولَٰئِكَ؟ هَؤُلَاءَ الصَّابِرُونَ الصَّابِرِينَ. هَؤُلَاءَ الصَّابِرِينَ هُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that the Rabb, Allah, is giving salawat ala sabireen? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. The reward of having sabr on loss of life, loss of property, loss of anything. When you see devastation, the first thing you say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ لِهِ رَاجِعُونَ. At that junction, Allah says to the angels, look at Abdi. Look at my Abd on the ground. Then he or she is truly sabir. And what does truly sabir mean? To be truly thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they realize that whatever I lost, it was never mine. Even my own body is not mine. Can I be born on my own? No. Can I wish to die on my own? No. Even this body of mine is not mine. It's an amanah, a trust from Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when this person faces this, they are sabir. That is why Allah said in the Quran, بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ. No, certainly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a part and parcel of worshipping Allah is to be patient on whatever calamity comes. Now that's one aspect that we learn from this devastation that we've been seeing images and images again and reading about it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us to see how much patient we are and how much thankful we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be thankful, because that's what Allah is saying, وَكُنْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Be. Don't just say shukr from your tongue, that's the least you can do. Be a thankful slave of Allah. Show your generosity, show your sakhawa and karama. Show your generosity and your shukr in action by opening your heart, by opening your pockets, to help those relieve in the devastation. That's why the brothers here have put a box over here. On your way out, donate to that cause. ICNA Relief has set up camps in Louisiana to help those Muslims and others who are displaced from their houses, and also to help for the masajid that are flooded with water. $250,000 ICNA has just found over there for helping, and it is approved by the FEMA, helping in those agencies. So we should also show our part, that as American Muslims and citizens of this country who are living here, everybody's helping, we should be at the forefront of helping to show the humanity and nature of Islam, the generosity of Islam. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ اَعْمَلُوا آلَ دَعُودَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلُوا مِنَ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that show physically. Allah is telling in that ayah to the family of David, Dawood al-Islam, اعملوا آل داود شكرا. O family of David, اعمل, work, physically work and show that you are shakir, thankful to Allah. In the same way, Allah is addressing us in this ayah too, that all mu'mineen, whoever follows the Prophet, they are mu'mineen. So the followers of Dawood as well are mu'mineen. So Allah is addressing all the mu'mineen that practically work and show your shukr, generosity, whatever you can donate, whether it's man or time or skills or caliber. And the other thing that we learn from this lesson of this is the flood. You see those waters rising and rising, engulfing the whole city, that the only thing you can see is rooftop. You can't even see cars. Cars are drowned, buried. Can you imagine? What lesson do you and I learn as a mu'min believer? Do we read those Qasas al-Anbiya in the Quran as a bedtime story and just be amused? Wow, there was once this prophet who warned his people that there's a flood coming and I'm building a ship, get into my ship. Those who believed in him got into his ship, Noah's Ark, and those who ridiculed him, humiliated him, made fun of him, sarcastically lambasting him, they were drowned. So what lesson are we learning? That when you read the Qissa of Nuh alayhi salam in the Quran, yes, it is real. You only could visualize and have takhayyul of it. But now you're seeing real life images. The might of water, the power of just one makhluk of Allah, wind. What can wind bring about a devastation on a piece of land? And what do we learn, the ibrah, the lesson from this hurricane and from this qissa of Nuh alayhi salam, the story of Nuh alayhi salam? When Allah told Nuh alayhi salam that no one is going to believe from your qawm. Khalas, end of discussion on the topic. Start building a ship, an ark, a huge one. وَاسْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِعَعْيُنَا وَوَحْيِنَا وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ Surah Hud, verse number 32. Allah's mother is saying very clearly, وَاسْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِعَعْيُنَا وَوَحْيِنَا And O Nuh alayhi salam, start building a ship, an ark, under our supervision, بِعَعْيُنَا And the supervision of Allah's one. وَوَحْيِنَا Under the inspiration of Allah's one. Allah is inspiring Nuh alayhi salam what kind of ark to build, what size, what shape, what ingredients, what raw materials you need, so that a storm that is about to come, you can save yourself in it. Now, let me ask you this. If you were to go and donate a boat 2 weeks ago to the people of Orleans, they're going to say, are you crazy? Are you insane? Majnoon, what are you doing? Why are you giving me a boat? Hurricane is coming. Oh, I know it's coming. No problem. But people would have thought about you that you're insane. That is exactly what the people of Nuh alayhi salam, who rejected him, did to him. They ridiculed him, humiliated him. They were sarcastic to him. So what are you doing? Are you crazy? Halanta majnoon? That's what Allah SWT tells us. وَيَسْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْهِ قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ Allah is saying in that ayah that يَوَيْسْنَا الْفُلْكَ And he's building the ship, the ark. وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ He is building the ship, and every time a chief from his qawm, from the qawm of Nuh Islam, an elite, big person, minister or governor, big man, big shot coming, passing by Nuh alayhi salam, كُلَّمَا مَرَ عَلِي مَلَى مِنْ قَوْمِ سَخِرُوا مِنْ They would make fun of him. سَخِرُوا Fun, sarcasm, making humiliation, disrespect, degradation. And one of the riwayats tell us from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that some of them would come and say to Nuh alayhi salam, يَا نُوحُ سِرْتَ نَجَّارًا بَعْدَ كُنْتَ نَبِيًّا Yani a very sarcastic way of humiliating a prophet of Allah. And even the person who's saying this is acknowledging that prophecy, being a prophet, is a very high maqam, virtuous thing. Because look what he's saying. Sirta najjaran, you became a carpenter. Ba'da kunta, after what you were, nabiya, nabi. Yani nabi ahsan min al-najjar, hayya, huwa ariya, na, taba'i. He's acknowledging. He is accepting from his own tongue and words that prophecy, even though he rejected Nuh alayhi salam, but he's saying, you have come down, you have degraded yourself from a prophet to a carpenter. And what are you doing? سَخِيرُ مِنْ قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُ مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنْكُمْ That if you are being sarcastic to us, fine, no problem. We will have sabr, nasbir. But we will also have our turn of sakhr on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when you will be doomed by rejecting Nuh alayhi salam. And we will be laughing on your Qiyamah on you, that who are the true people? And that is what the problem is. Because the people of New Islam did not believe on what?
Ghaib.
The Ghaib, the unseen, told New Islam, Yawma, start building a ship. A big hurricane, a big tufan, a big, big flood is coming. That would not just engulf a small Gulf Coast or city, it would engulf the whole dunya. That's why in Nuh alayhi salam's ship, you had not just human insan, but you had the hayawan. As Allah tells in Surah Hud, that Zawjain, that couples of every makhluk were entered into ship. The ship saved human beings, animals, and everything that was there on earth to save in one part and show them, look how the water is rising. Water rising from the top, rain. Water rising from the bottom, earth, and engulfed, and people drowning. Now you see those same images that the Quran talks about 1400 years ago in Surah Hud, which is also about a prophet. Thousands of years ago, Nuh alayhi salam came before us. Thousands and thousands of years ago, this whole earth, even where you're sitting right now, was underwater. And then Allah let the water go back again. So when you see these images from New Orleans, Gulfport, Biloxi, and Mobile, Alabama, remember what did Allah teach us from Nuh alayhi salam qissa. The message is one, simple and very subtle. Are you ready? Do you really believe in the ghaib? Do you really truly believe in the unseen? Or is your belief superficial? That when you see the destruction, then you have remorse and guilt, and you make tawbah for a few days, and then you're back again in the dunya, forgotten, as if nothing happened. Tsunami happened last year ago. Many people after the tsunami became serious, and ibadah and worship, and now the same people have relaxed again. And then another devastation comes. And then people begin to ask, why is Allah punishing us? Why is Allah being bad to us? Like some magazines write, God has become evil. Astaghfirullah. These are words of kufr. But obviously they are coming from someone who is already a non-believer. Ahna Muslimin, we can never say that. You want to know why God did this? You want to know why Allah did this? Allah says very beautifully in the Quran, Surah Nisa, مَا يَفَعَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ مَا يَفَعَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. What will Allah achieve? All those people think negatively from this tragedy of hurricane, thinking that Allah is na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, evil and punish the people. No. Allah is just bringing this devastation, this hurricane, as a bala, as an imtihan, as a test. For those who are not Muslim, a test for them, how long will you reject the supreme, the unseen? For those who are mu'mineen, are you prepared? Are you ready to meet your Rabb? Or will you be devastated like these? Two questions asked. One for a believer, one for a non-believer. From the same thing. Because Allah is saying, مَا يَفْعَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Allah is saying, translation, what will Allah achieve by punishing you? بِعَذَابِكُمْ. You think Allah loves to punish insan, Bani Adam? No, other than. The iqab and punishment in Islam, the philosophy, falsafatul iqab in Islam, is deterrence. To deter you from fasad and fitna and fush and fujur. Not to punish. Allah, like some people believe, which is wrong, Allah is not vindictive. Allah does not have vengeance. Allah does not have revenge. Because this ayah is very clearly saying, Allah does not feel happy in punishing people. Or what will Allah achieve by punishing? When lies perish and flooded in water, lies are floating in water, what do you think Allah has achieved with that? It is only a test. It is merely in tahan. It is merely in ibra, seeing. Because some people say in this dunya, seeing is believing. I will believe if I see it. That's what they asked to many of the prophets. They asked Qawm al-Bani Israel, they asked Musa Islam, if you really are true, and you say that you are Kalimullah, you talk to Allah, show us, unzurna, let us see Allah. But that is the whole test of iman. That is the whole test of belief. Because if you see Allah, if you see everything, what's the purpose of Jannah and Jahannam? The real purpose of Jannah and Jahannam is to see how truthful we are to believe in the unseen. Hence, the slogan in Islam is not seeing is believing. The slogan in Islam is believing is seeing. When you believe in Allah, when you believe in Rasulullah, when you believe in the Quran, when you believe in the Akhirah, when you believe in the Maut, you begin to see كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى بِنُورِ الْقُرْآنِ وَنُورِ الْإِيمَانِ وَنُورِ اللَّهِ وَنُورِ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. This is the seeing that is desired from a mu'min.
أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لكم وسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنة يوم الدين أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, in conclusion, what is our take-home recipe from this tragedy? On this Jummah, as we step out and don't just forget about these ayats and these ahadith of Rasulullah, and we, as this tragedy passes back, and as the people get their lives back, and as the city rebuilds and gets back to everything, we should not forget one thing, that what was the message in this for us from Allah? And what can we do practically from today, from this moment, from this minute, not hour, from this minute, to change my lifestyle? For this we see the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, which is narrated by Salama رضي الله عنها. She said, سمعت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما من عبد تصيبه مصيبة فيقول إن لله وإنا إليه راجعون اللهم أجرني في مصيبتي وأخلف لي خيرا منها إلا أجره الله في مصيبتي وأخلف له خيرا منها. سلمة رضي الله عنها is narrating that the Prophet ﷺ said, ما من عبد يصيبه مصيبة. There's not a single abd, slave of Allah, he or she, when they face a calamity, musibah, mushkil, when they face that, except that if they say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and then at that moment, right after reciting that ayah, they say, اللَّهُمَا أَجِرْنِي فِي مُصِيبَتِي وَأَخْلِفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. If you just say this dua, anytime you're struck with any calamity, any tragedy, any trauma, anytime you're struck with any test, and you say these words and this ayah, Rasulullah is saying, Allah will give them khayrun minha, and Allah will give them the ajr of their sabr. Because what they are saying, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati, whatever musibah it is, whether it's loss of job, loss of life, loss of car, loss of house, loss of anything, whatever you lost, the moment you lost, instead of saying anything else which might become kufr, if you just say at that moment, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlif li minha khayran, and give me better than what this musibah is, illa ajrahu Allah, Allah will give them that ajr. It is a wa'd min Allah. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلُفُ الْمَوْعِدِ وَالْمِعَادِ. Allah never turns away from His pact, from His oath. Allah is going to reward that person for their sabr, for their repose, for their resolution, for the firmness that they have. And then that is why we see also from the riwayah of Umar ibn Khattab that he said once, ما أصابتني مصيبة إلا وجدت فيه ثلاثة نعم. Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه is saying that in every musibah that afflicted me, meaning Umar ibn Khattab that afflicted him, he saw thalatha ni'am. He didn't see anything bad. You know how we are tuned and we are brainwashed to thinking that whenever there's a musibah, a tragedy, it's something that is negative? Look at the first generation of Muslims. Look at the first few people who believed in Rasulullah, Umar ibn Khattab. He's saying, مَا رَجَدْتُ فِي مُصِيبَتِي إِلَّا ثَلَاثَ نِعْمٍ. There is no sayyah, there is no evil. He is saying, Umar ibn Khattab, from his own tongue, he is saying, I never saw any negative, any pessimism, any frustration, anything wrong or bad in musibati. إِلَّا رَجَدْتُ ثَلَاثَ نِعْمٍ. In fact, he's counting for you how many ni'mah, ni'mah single, ni'mah plural. He's counting how many blessings he saw in every musibah that he was afflicted by Rabbin Azza wa Jal. Meaning a lesson for us. We are also Muslimin, mu'mineen like Umar ibn Khattab. But we are coming thousands a year later than him. So we need to learn from the message of Umar ibn Khattab. What are the thalatha ni'am? He said, أَوَّلًا أَنَّا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِي. The musibah was never in his deen. What does he mean by that? He means that whatever musibah came, it did not make me away from the deen. You know, some people, they become zindiq, they become against the deen when they are musibah. Khalas, kafir billah, they say, I don't think there's Allah, astaghfirullah. There are Muslims on this earth, brother and sister. Yes, you may not believe, you may think it's fiction, but it's true. There are Muslims on this earth who were tested
and they turn against the religion. And that is what Umar ibn Khattab is saying. That the first thing, أَنَّا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِي. In my deen, that musibah was never an obstacle, hurdle. In fact, every time musibah came, I became more closer in my deen. هَذَا هُوَ النَّعْمَ. Because this is what we call in English language, blessing in disguise. There is always a ni'mah, always a blessing in all the masahib that Allah sends our way. But you know, it's not tangible, it's not seen, you can't feel it, you can't see it. You will only realize and appreciate it 6 months down the road, a year down the road. You will see that. The second thing he said, أَنَّا لَمْ تَكُنْ أَعْظَمْ مِمَّا كَانَتْ. The musibah that came to me, it was never a'adham. It wasn't the biggest thing of my life. It wasn't the biggest trauma and tragedy that's the end of the world. In fact, I ask this to ourselves. What is bigger than death? Nothing. Death is the biggest. Because when we die, life has ended. Whatever musibah, mushkil you had on your head, whatever calamity you had, the moment your ruh went out, you don't even feel that calamity. So that is why he's saying that whenever you are in musibah, اذكر الموت. Because that will relieve you the pain. We get pained, we have agony, we have trauma. Yes, we are insane, we are bashar. We have to feel the pain. So he's saying there is ilaj, there is ruqiyah, there is a remedy and cure for the pain in musibah. And that is, remember maut. Yes, you have a calamity, you're not getting a job. What is bigger than death? What if you die right now? You have no more fikr. Because all the fikr, all the tafakkur, is as long as you have life in this body, in this jasad. The moment the life roh goes away, you have fikr, khalas. Now you are lying down, whatever you may be facing in barzakh, in the qabr. So that is why he's saying, أول نعمة أنها لم تكن في ديني. النعمة الثانية وجدت في مصيبتي أنها لم يكن أعظم مما كانت. That it is not bigger than anything in this life. And the third ni'mah, he said, أَنَّ اللَّهُ يُجَازِي عَلَيْهَا الْجَزَاءَ الْكَبِيرِ ثُمَّ تَلَى آيَةٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ هُمُ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. That is what he was saying. That these are the three blessings and ni'mah I found in every musibah that came my way. Who is saying this? Umar ibn Khattab. About whom Rasulullah said that if there was to come a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. About whom we know, Umar ibn Khattab, that there are 8 places in the Quran where the wahi was revealed according to what Umar ibn Khattab had the hum in his heart already. He would come and tell Rasulullah about it, and then the wahi would reveal. He is saying that, look, don't treat your masaib, musibah, as pessimistic, as being frustrated. Be always positive. Be optimistic. Take every musibah in a positive way. That the question should be, مَا ذَلِي فِي هَذِ الْمُصِيبَةِ. What is the dars? What's the lesson in this musibah for me? What message is Allah giving me in this musibah? And then you will see 6 months down the road, a year down the road, that if you are truly sabir in that musibah, you become closer to Allah. Many people, they change their lives when some musibah comes. Many people, they change their whole attitude, their whole philosophy, when they learn the message from the musibah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He give rahmah to us and rahmah on the Muslimin who are in this kurb and pain of this calamity. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us a sabr wal istiqamah. And He give us the ajr of sabr and having sabr on these things. Allahumma yaghfir lil muslimina wal muslimat al mu'minina.